shot me in my Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution. And joining me today, wow, isn't it funny? Big win and suddenly we've got a full book. With us today is The Architect.
Hey, Solution, how's it going?
Good, mate, how are you?
Oh, living the dream, buddy.
Wearing those treacherous colours again, but it is a podcast, so we won't delve too deeply. With us is Fiona. Put yourself
Hello.
Off mute. Hello,
Sorry.
How are you?
Sorry,
all good?
Yeah, in the middle of a cough. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Very good, thank you. With us is Christina.
Evening.
Evening, with your flagon there in front of you that you're sipping from. And with us is the Windsock 2000. How are you?
G'day, happy Easter.
Yes, good point. Happy Easter to everyone out there. That's why this is a day late, because so yesterday was... what people were out and about wasn't any religious reason we didn't podcast. But, yeah, it is funny, like, this is for any parents will know this, any budding parents will also know this. Like, if you tell your kid to smoke, but you're a cigarette smoker, the kid will just become a smoker, almost guarantee it. Kids do what they see, not what you say. And I've trained this team too well because I'm so lackadaisical with the podcast. Like, I always send the thing out late and blah, blah. But these guys never tell me when they're going to turn up. Christina's very good. She says nice and early. But all I hear from Windsock 2000 is, oh, I might join. And then the architect is like last second, yeah, I'll be there. So I thought it was just going to be you and me, Christina. But we got...
Not the first time.
Yeah, having said that... the correspondent, I am worried about him. He's gone dark. Like in our group chat, now this is quite self-indulgent, but in the Windsock group chat, he's coming in with some dark comments.
It's always really? The start of the game. Like it's like, yeah. Oh, classic Essendon is like 2 minutes into the game and he's given up hope already. And he's done it 2 games in a row now.
I'm switching off. I'm leaving. I'm not following this stupid sport.
Like, this club's fucked.
I'm a bit worried about his mental health.
I'm worried about it too. So I just want to say to the correspondent, look, we're here for you, mate. We are a family, and if you need us, we're here. To be fair, with this game, 2 minutes in, it was probably fair enough to say I'm quitting because it was, you know, the game of two halves. This was a game of a really bad half and half a quarter. And then, obviously, we know what happened. But what I will say is Saturday for me is why I'm in this shit, why I'm actually still going to games, still even podcasting, why I still follow Essendon. It's for moments like that because as frustrating as they can be and as annoying as Essendon can be, you can hear from my voice, I'm still hoarse from screaming. And nothing beats that feeling of that kind of win come from behind. It is better than anything you can imagine. That's where I want to start. Fiona, what were your thoughts at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's incomparable. Like that pure moment of elation as soon as that final siren goes. Because we were holding on, I think, for... How long were we holding on for in the minutes that Stringer kicked? Yeah, about 5 minutes. We're all holding on for dear life. So that
Sorry to interrupt. It was 5 minutes of football time.
Yes, plus time.
But it was longer, but it felt eternity.
Yeah. And so that moment where you just let go and you just allow yourself to feel the joy is unlike, and hugging strangers, hugging, like, yeah. It was just, yeah, it's incredible, and that's why you follow this sport, because that's what you get on the other side, and it was just good to do it against a, it felt better to do it against like a semi-quality team. You know, many people have them in their top eight, so it felt much. It felt even better doing it, and just knowing that we outran them in the last quarter, like fitness wise, athleticism wise, coaching wise. I think Brad had a really good coach's day. It was the second half of every quarter. We just adjusted. He adjusted a few things in the coach's box, and the players took to it, and then the game changed. So, yeah, really proud. Come away as frustrating as those first halves of pretty much every quarter, but the fourth were. You can't ask for much more than making changes and seeing the fruits of the changes.
Architect, were you dry humping strangers?
You didn't leave, did you?
No, I didn't. However, the missus was wanting to leave. We're about 10 minutes left, and I said she can leave by herself.
Can I just say, Mrs. Architect, you've been brought up poorly.
Bad parenting. That's it. Yep. Strong words to her parents for sure. But I tell you what, the stress, the heart rate was through the roof in the last 10 minutes. It's like, bloody hell, this club, I'm not going to reach the, you know, expected life stage of an average Australian male at this rate. They just, bloody hell, it took years off my life.
Yeah, it definitely did. Christina, what are you doing?
I was working, so I missed the first half.
Lucky you. Car.
Yeah, and so when I got home, saw the score, and I went, oh, you know, because I saw Twitter feed, and I'm like, everyone's saying doom and gloom, and then when I saw we're only, was it 22 points down, something, I'm like, oh, that's not too bad, like, we're still in this, and then I got watching and got into the game, and as I said on the group chat, I got so excited, we did a turnover or something, and I got so physically reactive to that bad turnover, I split my pants. as you do.
Was it a real
thrower, Christina?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. These pants might need to go in the bin, I think.
I'll be over there. Send the builder AFC.
Yeah, a worthy sacrifice, though.
Yeah. For the win. I won't tell you what position I've got my legs into, but anyway.
So you really did enjoy the win.
I did enjoy the win.
Excellent. And Winsock 2000, what was funny is at the end of the game, well, I sent out the thing, shall we go to the pub? And Winsock 2000 used a term I haven't heard from anyone under 70. He said, I have dinner reservations. Who has ever heard that term?
What do you mean? Don't people do that anymore?
You make your
plans.
Yeah, I've never any hands up. Who's ever heard the term dinner reservations?
That's what it was.
I've not heard that
reservation.
Since.
If I had plans, well, obviously I would have come for a beer and just delayed the getting to a restaurant. But my reservations were in place.
No, it's a term you might hear from in Don's party or something like that. But were you obviously? I know emotion is something that you know isn't really in your programming. But what was the feeling like?
It was a real contrast between agony and ecstasy the whole game. Like it was the dodgy free kicks or not free kick calls followed by our like run of 4 points or something in the last quarter where each of them would have put us ahead. Like it was just crazy. It was one of the best wins in recent history. We truly edged them in the contest.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. All right.
I have a theory as to all the, you know, those pull out your hair moments where we're like, I feel like, where's the Benny Hill music? What did I just watch? It's harder to actually fuck that up than to actually get out of that mess. You know, all those moments from the game, right? Having watched the replay, final just admit it 5.5 times over in the last 48 hours or so, I noticed that I think it's us. I think it's the fans who are causing it. Because imagine you have 45,000 people go, oh, like in your face, highlighting one of the stupidest thing you do. Do you then feel the confidence in yourself to then go take on the world? No, you feel like an absolute potato. And like every, it was just so pronounced and so loud that I think that it's our fault. I think we're the cause that they kept doing those stupid things, because you know, don't feel confident after being all that.
It's funny you say that. Like in soccer, they talk about it a lot. They have the crowd can make the players nervy.
Well, it's just like we can. Yeah. I truly feel like all the clapping and screaming and stomping that we did, I truly feel that had a part to get them over the line for them. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of naive for us to think that the opposite is not putting a bit of undue pressure on them in the opposite circumstance. No,
I think
it was loud. It was loud.
That's what I mean.
It was one of the loudest quarters that I can remember at Marvel in quite a long time. And by contrast, when we're playing shit, the silence is
no. But it's not the silence. It's the growl. It's the growling and the complaining and the it's like someone standing like a foot from your face and saying, "I'm disappointed in you." That's what the
But is that like I'll tell you what, a telling moment that illustrates your point is after that stringer rubbish free kick and then 50 meters. Straight, the momentum did it, like the whole energy just left the entire stadium. We'll talk about umpiring a bit later, and we'll talk about that. But what I do want to ask is the early errors, early turnovers, and we'll get to best players. I know Mick, you'd argue if Nick Martin's going to have 44 possessions, he's going to make some errors. I think he had a really early one. There was a bunch of them, and they directly resulted in goals. And why are we doing that early days? Has anyone got a theory as to what's going on? Early in games in particular, I mean.
It's even early in games. I'd say it's early in the quarters. Because it was every, for the first three, it was probably the first 10 minutes of each quarter where it was like fumble or bad decisions. I don't know if it takes them 10 minutes to warm up. But yeah, they seem to be off early in quarter. Well, they were this week. They were off early in quarters, but it was consistent. Every quarter, we kind of worked ourselves back into it by the end. So we were running more than St Kilda were at the end of each quarter. So it's that red time. I thought we were winning those. But early on, I'm with your solution. It was a bit chaotic. I don't know if they're nervous with expectations.
I don't know whether they're getting too amped up 5 minutes before the game. I don't know whether they're too relaxed 5 minutes before the game and then they just momentum, like the siren goes and they're full of adrenaline or... Because a bit of it felt like, you know, adrenaline gone wrong, because you could see the energy was there, but they were making the weirdest, most peculiar, like a half handball. A missed handball in dry, like still weather under the roof, like just silly. And so that's a mental thing for me. You can only put that down to a mental, whether they're, as I said, maybe they're too hyped pre-game or too relaxed pre-game, and then it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, like Coxie, I'm really liking what I see from Cox at the moment, and I think he's just growing and growing and growing. But he's picked up Archie's ability to, like, miss the handball.
Miss the handball. He's handballing to people's feet. That's the problem.
That's right. It's a bit of that.
I thought he's one of the ones who I didn't realise being at the ground how much he put his body on the line until I watched the replays. I didn't realise how actually pivotal he was in quite a few moments there defensively a few times he just cannonballed himself, his bean shoot of a body that you think is going to have absolutely no impact into a contest. And he and Caldwell are the two who Caldwell particularly, who I think he doesn't play that game, we don't win it. But Cox, just wanted to, yeah, highlight that I thought he was underrated in that game.
I think his positioning is much improved.
Reading of the ball, yeah. I think the experiment's over, right? He needs to play in the back line. He needs to see the contest ahead of him. He needs to see it. I think the experiment is over. Keep him there and find a way to get Ridley in. Laverty out, Ridley in. Perfect.
Mm. Well, but while we're on the back line, and I know we'll do Herd and Hanneman, and we'll talk about best players. I don't think this guy will be a Herd, but I thought Laverty actually did a role.
Really good.
Down back in some tough contests, a couple of one-on-ones. And so I thought he played his part. Heppel was great. I think he'll feature in the award conversation. Put in a shift down there, I thought.
Heppel had the highest amount of marks for Essendon. He had 8 marks.
Yeah, and you know, Christine, he was doing it when we're under the cosh too. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're under the pump, he was one of the few players that was composed and stood up. That's what I liked about that. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to give, who hasn't done it for a while, I'm going to give the, Fiona, you can do the Herd. There you go. You can do the positive.
Yeah.
And Hanneman, I'll give it, you did it last week, didn't you, Architect? Christina did the Herd, I think. Winsock 2000, you can do the Hanneman. I know it's your wheelhouse, potty players. So take your time. Who were the best players? Who deserves a shout? And I reckon it's a tough one. I think a lot of players could be Herds. So good luck.
Yeah, it's hard not to give it just from the fourth quarter because I don't think there was one player who didn't kind of excel and we didn't see kind of their best from in that last quarter. They each had a very pivotal moment, including Todd Goldstein, who didn't do much throughout the game, but he did one or two things, including a very big mark that were pivotal. And, it was the tackle. Big tackle, big mark. That were huge.
Can we stop there for a second? How crucial were the two rucks to that last quarter?
Well, up until that point, I reckon Marshall had the, and I said it to you during the game, solution. I reckon they'd put a lot of work into Draper because he, aside from a few little, you know, bulldozing moments he had, I reckon Marshall, who's an absolute gun, let's be clear, I reckon he really had got the best of Draper. So, yeah.
Mm. Also, it's not bulldozing, it's harvesting. Remember, he's a combine harvester.
Oh, right. Okay. Is there a difference? Sure. Okay. Semantics. I really want to just shout out again Caldwell because I did not notice it at the night, but my gosh, and it wasn't just the fourth quarter. He was toughing it out the whole game. But his delivery, his decision making in the fourth, absolutely elite. He led to the Langford goal, he led to the Stringer goal that won the game, kicked it to him. So he was absolutely brilliant. Dersma, he had the best. I called him for the Smoke and Joe in the Fiona's forecast, and he absolutely delivered. I could almost give him the Herd, absolutely. He was brilliant. His chase down tackle in the last, man, that got the heart. Awesome. Did you see the relief on Mackay's face? And I think it was Heppel, because, you know, they were about to go. He just willed himself and he lunged Superman style forward.
He had a couple of, I think, or one in particular, like really strong contests as well. I didn't realise how tall he is.
Few of them.
Like, I think he's nearly 6'4".
No, not that tall.
I don't think so. He plays a bit taller. He jumps.
He probably does. And he's quite lean, so he probably looks a bit more bean shooty. But
he's got some very long studs.
Yes. Yep.
So there's my heights. Let's see.
I just loved his game. Very happy for him. He was very good. We've already shouted out Heppel. And Merritt obviously had a very good captain's game. Was a bit fumbly like the rest at times, but he stood up in the last. I thought he was seeing red with his defensive tackling and just pure willpower and desire to get to the tackles and to the St Kilda pressure.
Unrewarded? a fair bit as well.
Yeah.
December. How do you, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, how do you judge Nick Martin's game? Obviously, like 44 possessions is noteworthy, and he did some fantastic things.
He did some brilliant things, but he also, I don't know if it was even amount of brilliant and, you know, iffy things. So I don't know whether 22 half good possessions, half bad possessions out of those 44.
I think you only had more better ones.
I'd say more better ones. Yeah, I think I only had, yeah, I think I only had 6 or 7. Clangers or ineffective disposals.
But it's not about the clangers. If you're watching the replay, and if you how when you do it as much as I have in such a short space of time, you actually pick up on. It's not that it was like a thing that are considered an effective disposal, but
cheap.
But not just cheap, but to a player in such a bad position such a bad decision making position. So it was that kind of thing. And at the time, I'm thinking, he's going to get he's going to get a possession for that. And that was just the worst possible decision that's then led to a goal, put his teammate under pressure. I don't think you can read too much into that.
And also, sorry, you go, Krista.
I was going to say, I just find it's interesting that he's placed in the back line. And he, trying to think like Brad, you go, okay, if he's going to get a lot of possessions a game, do opposition teams think, oh, should we tag a back pocket player or halfback player to stop the possessions? And if they consider that, then it leaves someone else free, perhaps in a midfield, for makes it easier for Essendon. So it's a really interesting tactic that Brad's kind of using, because the opposition team is not really going to start marking him in a back pocket.
Well,
defensively though, he's actually quite good. I think he's better defensively. Good. Yeah, he's better defensively than what I gave him credit for. But it's been the fumbliness that. Again, I'm willing to give him absolute time and just hope he's just getting it out of his system. But because defensively, he's actually quite good.
Mm.
Yeah,
so what I was going to say. It's kind of making the forwards of the opposition perhaps more accountable.
Yeah.
And so it's actually quite an interesting tactic, and we'll see how oppositions deal with him in the future.
And for me, like... that's where I'll back you up, Fiona. The thing is, he could only have a 20% error rate, but because of where he is on the field,
that's right.
Those errors kill us, man. They fucking hurt.
So because they directly lead to goals. Langford does what he does. It's not. It might shoot down the other end, but we've got a big space to try and stop it. He stuffs up, and granted, he's given license to go for those difficult kicks, and to a point, I love that in him, and I love that he's been given that green light to take that difficult kick, because if it comes off, well, it leads to a potential goal for us, but it's the easy ones that he's...
You shouldn't be missing a 15-metre pass to someone in the open, right, and putting it... The kick didn't even make the distance to Andy McGrath. For me, that was the one. How do you miss that?
Also, I noticed he played 90% of the game. Maybe he just needs a break sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Have you got like a top 2-3 and then...
I thought McGrath also was very good. Very, very good.
No, you're not going to mention Stringer?
He's the herd.
Sorry.
I'm getting to him. You just ruined the crescendo. Hello, I just ruined my build.
How long have you been doing this, architect?
Exactly. Do you not know the process? Okay, well, without further ado, I will. I'm giving it to Stringer, and not because of his, obviously, the goals, amazing, but you only could appreciate how hard he worked by being at that game.
Yep.
The top, the Christina, I know you weren't there, but all of us, if you did not see him running up and down that wing, and that wasn't his job. He was doing that because of the press. He was doing it to help the midfielders out. But he worked up and down that ground trying to put just even a minute amount of pressure on Brad Hill and the other runners for St Kilda. And I thought, fuck, in years gone by, there is no way. He's hanging out the back and just making it somebody else's problem, because it technically is. But that was really impressive, and it's the little things. Again, I thought his leadership was good down in the forward line, and I mean, the goal, very few kick that where he kicked it, when he kicked it, games in the balance. Like, people say, late in the game, tired legs. But how about the tension? How about the moment? The nerves? No problem.
And Brad Scott was very effusive about his, Stringer and the work he's done pre-season, etc. But I think there's a man who's very unlucky, and I don't know that you've made the right decision. Fiona, I reckon there's a guy who hasn't been mentioned who deserves flowers. He's my guy, and you haven't, they haven't even mentioned him.
Well, I did have a longer list, but you were rounding me up, so.
Harry Jones.
Oh, yes, Jones. Well, I did give him I did give him two tweaks, so
he
I didn't recognize
three.
Him. No, well. No, oh, he was, yeah, sorry. Absolutely, cannot believe I forgot him. But Harry, where's that come from?
What was his best game in the colours?
Absolutely, without fail.
And he's kicked more goals before, he's taken more marks. But his work rate around the ground, his defensive efforts,
didn't
spoiling.
I was happy he didn't get outmarked. Not once in that forward line. He brought every contest to ground and gave the forwards a shot at actually making something of it. He pressured. I don't think he gave away a free. His tackling was, his technique was beautiful, brilliant.
Is it just confidence architect? What is it with him? It's got to be above the shoulders.
I think you're right. It is. The one thing that I took away from his game, I thought his leading patterns were really, really good. Something that I haven't necessarily kind of watched, but I actually actively watched him run around in the forward line. It was the dummy leads. He timed his leads to perfection.
Can I ask a question? What's a leading pattern?
It's where you go around and around and around in circles, more than one.
It's not something we can talk about. Yeah, okay. Okay, zigging and zagging, I can get
with. It's reading the ball.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Other than that, I thought when the ball hit the ground, he kept his feet a lot more than usual, and he was actually doing kind of second and third efforts and affecting the ground ball more than I've seen him do, which is just awesome.
Yep.
He and Heppel were the two when at the start of every quarter, when everybody's missing slippering handballs, like it looked like a cake of soap, the ball. Everybody was doing that. I reckon he and Heppel were the two who kept their heads. He looked like he played 100, like the confidence of a 50-game player. It was just feeling the moment, feeling the time, and maybe he just realizes he's out of the team in 4 weeks when Big Pete comes back if he doesn't step up, you know? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think so. Can we just pause on Heppel? Just a legend of the club. I know it hasn't been easy for him. It's amazing he's still got that mop of hair, playing for Eston all these years. But again, as I said at the start, he was great when the heat was on and everyone else was crumbling. But he's just his composure, and you can see why Brad Scott picks him every week. And still fans complain when he gets picked, by the way.
Yeah.
Tell me that.
After Saturday night, he and Stringer are the first pick.
Yep.
I think he was even in a couple of clearances as well. Back to his old position.
I don't recall him being in the middle.
The centre of the ground,
stoppages.
But like the stoppages.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, he won some clearances for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took a couple of very big marks, like got some airtime. Where does that come from? Turning back the clock. Yeah.
Very, very good. All right. Well, now we're going to move to the Henneman. So well done, Jake Stringer. Unlucky Harry.
He's close. Got the two chockies.
This is a tough one.
No, this is easy.
It's
easy. Take pup nominations.
All right. Well, you just do it then, mate. Do it. I was going to try and...
Yeah. I don't think I can nominate anyone, like, other than the actual person who gets it, really. Like, I was trying to think of a couple players, and they all kind of did enough to keep them just to be clear.
Is this the first?
Of the eventual winner. Usually it's pretty easy to get a couple.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'll just go straight to it, Menzie. He was fucking useless.
Yeah.
He was. But even in saying that, I think he did one of the score involvements towards the end of the game. So it was probably he was missing a lot.
He took that rainmaker.
And if he kicked the goal, he probably would have avoided it, but he muffed it. So
what about the one? Could King Kelly have put it on a plate any more than he did in the goal square?
He had it in the goal square.
King Kelly, King, just did this deaf little tap. Who knew that King Kelly could do a deaf little tap in the goal square to set it up beautifully for Mendy, and then he absolutely porked it.
Gave it to the court jester.
And then he fell down and down. Yes. You're there to do that. That's your only thing that you got to do and lay a couple of friggin' tackles. I don't give a shit that he might miss those goals. But did he lay lay a tackle or pressure? He laid one tackle. Sorry, not good enough.
To be fair, Gresham only laid one as well.
Yeah. But he set up more than a few goals. The beautiful kick to Langford, the bullet pass. But yeah, he might have been the nomination then.
He probably could have had a nomination.
Okay.
But Menzie was definitely the worst. His disposal was terrible. Mm. I think he maybe hit one effective disposal or something.
One effective disposal. Oh, yeah.
Wow. For a whole game. Nick Hind was brewing in the last quarter. I reckon his buzz. Those legs, he gets his knees up and you're like, oh, something's happening here.
Yeah. Well, he laid more tackles. So.
How? Like,
there you go. Yeah.
God help me.
Is it the equivalent of St Kilda having 19 players on the field?
Well, funny you say that, because Fiona's forecast listeners might recall I said Menzie should be the sub at best, and that it might be like having one less man. Do you recall that conversation, Fiona?
I absolutely do.
You can.
And you were right.
You're going to mail in your apology or email or
me?
Harry a pigeon, yeah.
Why? I didn't disagree with you.
Yes, you did. You said our forward line would be too small without him.
But you either take him or Davey. Like, you can't not have a small forward.
Yeah,
I wasn't disagreeing about how bad he is. I'm saying, like, you need someone. But I would just – I know St Kilda they traded for Nick Hind particularly to play as a small forward, and that didn't work. But why don't we just – when he's so effective down there, why don't we just swap them?
Yeah.
And just start Nick Hind down there and just park him there.
I think he's a good sub. I think he plays the role really well. So I agree with Menzie potentially having a rest.
A rest? It's been three games.
I'd still keep Hind as a sub and bring someone else in.
I'd drop Menzie.
Yeah, same.
Whether it's Hind in and Davey on the bench or whatever.
Yeah. I reckon Davey showed
Jayden
enough when he's subbed.
Jayden and Alwyn, Davey was a good sub too. So maybe either Davey, Nick Hind gets promoted and just parks down the forward line and we try him. I'm not quite sure why he didn't work at St Kilda in the forward line there. Maybe the coaching or the setup there, but I don't see why we shouldn't try it.
They had a lot of small forwards as well.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Also, Hind can be his own worst enemy, let's be real.
Yeah.
But
he's
I
had
think
his fair share of
but I think that, but I think now, but down there, don't you think he can do less damage? Like,
true, that's a good point.
He's the furthest away from our opposition goal as possible. So isn't that the safest place for him to be?
Yeah, well, the safest place in past has sometimes been off the field, but I take your point. So just an aside, I don't know about you guys, I have a dislike of St Kilda. I think it's partly Ross Lyon and the vibe that he gives me, but I enjoyed beating the Saints. Who's with me?
Yep.
It was pretty good.
I don't think about it much.
No, not really.
Yeah, but with their one flag and 27 spoons.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing. You don't really think about them much. I suppose at the moment we're probably both on a similar level and we always seem to match up fairly well against them. Like, we're kind of similar team.
Yep.
To team where we're at. Always a good there's always usually like a good game. But do we really care about them that much? Not really.
That's the whole vibe comments from Ross Lyon, though. Like, and as I think Fiona said earlier, they were kind of they are touted as a team on the up and potentially going to be challenging. So,
people rate them way higher than us. I think they'll be way more successful than us. So to be the team that is sitting better than us, I take that as a huge win. And all heart, like, you had to dig deep into the depths of your soul in that last quarter.
Yeah.
Hold on for that 5 minutes, for that however long with stoppages and stuff it was, to come back, to press, to hold your nerve, to, you know, still a very young team. Take Goldstein out of that and our average age is very young. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to the leaders for keeping everyone grounded and leveled and that just personifies Merritt's leadership as well. He's doing a phenomenal job in that department, and that's hopefully long may it continue. Although something tells me we're about to come to a red light in five days, 4 days.
We'll get to the traffic lights a bit later.
Oh no.
Any other comments on the game before we move on?
Yeah, I just want to actually, like, not that Essendon are listening, but actually congratulate the boys on their forward press in the second half. Like, we locked that ball in and St Kilda couldn't get it out. And we had our back pocket players kicking goals, which hasn't happened in a long time. And we're running back and defending as well. So all the sort of mistakes we made in the last two games, they've kind of been able to fix it, at least in the second half. And we haven't seen that really that well from the team before with what they did. So, and I think our ball movement from the back line has also vastly improved. Like, they knew when to go long. They knew when they needed to be patient to do short kicks and to work the ball forward. Like, they're kind of, they're working it out. And I think the flexibility in the team that Brad has created as well, like, the players, a lot of players are playing multiple roles in different positions, and it makes it harder for oppositions to coach against when players are able to move into different positions throughout a game. So, you know, I think that's kind of got to congratulate the team for being able to kind of take that step.
I mean, I'll give you a yellow card for football analysis because it's off-brand. But you're actually right. It's some really good points. And you're right. The way we locked it in, we haven't done it all year, really, until that last quarter and a half, particularly the last quarter.
I think it makes a huge difference when you have a big, big defender that can basically block the line.
Well said, mate.
He's massive.
Well said. We haven't really spoken about him, but What a difference.
Because in the second half, he was also outstanding. The number of intercept marks, I thought Big Ben was great.
Deserved a nomination, yeah, for Gotti. It's not gonna feel as good as it's gonna feel next week. Someone finally is going to be able to play on Bixon.
Yep.
He is no longer gonna dwarf Laverty. Do you remember them standing next to each other? Just get that image in your head. And now just erase that image, because that's never going to fucking happen again. Sorry, yep. I just had to take you.
Lav did very good on memory, though. Absolutely shut him down.
Yes.
Super impressive.
Laverty's last quarter, when it was going, I think 2 minutes to go, was going down there, and he punched and then pushed the ball. I just did the action, which is great for a podcast. But you're not going to understand what I meant. But if you watch the replay as much as I have, then you'll know what I meant. I mean,
By the way, I'm going to bring up another stat. Both, pretty much every single game, Ben McKay has played 100 minutes, like the full 100% of the time, he's played all the minutes in all three games. And also, Kyle Langford in the first game against the Hawks in this game has played 100% of the time as well. So those two aren't basically on the ground the whole time.
It's very common. Harris Andrews does it a lot. So it is common for your bookends to play 100 minutes. But, yeah, he'll need to buy some lozenges at this rate. He keeps singing the song, hey.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too carried away just yet.
Well, he's already outsung the first half of most years that he's
Oh, we said it. Yeah, good point. I mean, we spoke about it pre-season, I think. He's got a weight room where the weights weren't purchased in the 70s. And, he's got a team that actually wins occasionally, which helps. All right. Well, we might move then to around the grounds.
Is the deity the Richmond Football Club solution?
Oh, yeah, well, isn't it funny? Because I'm not an avid watcher of other games, but I looked at the score sort of like a second quarter or whatever, and I thought, oh, Sydney's going to run away with this. And then, as things got tight, I turned it on. And I tell you what, I don't give credit to umpires very often. By the way, umpires, you got off scot-free that we didn't speak about you this week. You're lucky we won. But anyway, we'll let it slide in the interest of time. But, I saw Papley. Now, a lot of people said the free kick he gave away, which was crucial. Sydney had momentum, streaming towards goal. I think they were down by a kick at the time, or less than a kick. And he gave this free kick away, and it looked like a super soft free kick. But when you look closely, Papley whacked his opponent on the head, and the umpire spotted it. Maybe Papley and Sydney in general should have kept their powder dry. We're just all nodding. Everyone's nodding and smiling.
I think we manifested it, to be quite honest. I think 80,000 Essendon fans manifested that win. That was not supposed to happen. Richmond had no team. They have their biggest, a lot of their biggest stars, Dusty, but a lot of others out. And, in rebuild mode, Sydney have just come off a week where they'll run their mouth like they fucking won the premiership, as you alluded to, Solution, in March, and acted like they're the toughest fucking shit going round, and scolded a team who beat them in contested footy for not being tough enough for long enough. Well, don't know. Just think that's some nice karma coming to town.
We wore them out. You're welcome, Richmond.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And, all those Twitter trolls, Sydney supporters, kind of went quiet, although, I might have sent out a couple of tweets after the Richmond win, and they came at me again. But you know what? I didn't respond, but I've got some soldiers out there who actually responded on my behalf. Some bomber soldiers. So big up to all those accounts.
Yeah, they weren't finding a way to defend, were they? I mean, like the trolls, were they trying to defend their team?
My soldiers, excellent soldiers.
No, the trolls.
Yeah, they were having a go at me saying I'm still salty from the week before and a few other things like that. And my lieutenants and generals and privates started having to go at them back. So, it was nice. It was nice. As you said, karma, beautiful thing. Premierships are not won in March, as I said, podcast last week, and chickens came home to roost. So fuck you, Sydney. All right. Any other comments from around the grounds? Anything of note?
Nothing. Apparently West Coast are really crap.
Yeah. Go figure.
We'll be asking for a priority pick by round 5.
They may well be. But then again, they're not the Kangaroos. But my comment is, I reckon Melbourne might be sneaky good this year.
At this rate, North Melbourne will ask for another priority pick at the end of this year.
No doubt. No doubt.
God, the fucking nerve of that club when they are stacked. The nerve. That's all I'm going to say. The nerve.
Especially when it's self-inflicted.
That's right, to play the martyr. But who the fuck do you think you are? This is self-inflicted bullshit. At least West Coast have had success. And this is the, I guess, the outcome of the aftermath of winning a premiership and having older stars retire on you and you don't really have the rebuild like Geelong and Sydney do. But at least there's a reason for this. What is North Melbourne's reason? Anyway. That's a whole other podcast that you could do.
Yeah, love it, love it. All right, well, we move to the game next week. And it's an away.
Gather round.
Yeah, gather, fucking gather round.
Anybody go?
I hate the pun. I hate the whole thing.
No.
Correspondent went last year. Do you reckon he's going this year?
Have we seen him since? Did he actually? We confirm he came back.
I don't think so. I do worry. I do worry. But yeah, we play. So what day do we play?
Friday night.
Friday night footy.
Isn't it? Am I dreaming?
We're all
over. Friday at 8:10.
Yes, that's right.
We played three Fridays in a row, so we were officially in vogue.
How was it 3 Fridays in a row when we played on Saturday?
The next 3 are 3 in a row.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you just that sentence needed some prepositions and some like words, English words.
Could you not have figured that out though, solution in fairness? Could you not have done some forward thinking on that one?
Forward thinking me.
Oh yeah, true.
That's not gonna happen. All right. Obviously, Sammy Durham will be out, concussion protocols, which is a great shame.
Devastating.
Yep.
He's a like for like, so hopefully he's back.
So he'll come back. Any other changes that we heard
anything else about Setterfield? What happened to him?
He had swelling on his knee from last week, and obviously that didn't come good, but I'm hoping it's just that swelling and he just needed another week of rest, because that really is a perfect like-for-like.
Okay. I hear Ridley's a chance to come back.
Oh, yeah. Laverty out, Ridley in, done. Davey in, Menzie out, done.
That's a harsh drop on Lav. He played so well.
Yeah, but are you keeping Ridley out for him? And don't dare say you're dropping the King.
God, no.
Well, who do you drop then? Who do you drop? Because I agree.
It might be.
No, well.
Tim or Kelly.
No, the King stays. The King had a great game.
Put Ridley in the forward pocket. Done. Bye, Menzies.
Perfect.
Yeah,
problem solved.
Can Ridley do Menzies' job?
Genius.
Somehow Kelly was in the forward pocket, like,
Was everywhere. Kelly was covering everywhere. He was on the wing, he was forward, and may I just say, once
the
again...
The deer in the headlights up there.
No, he's not. Hello.
He was.
Hello. Far be it from me.
He looked confused. He didn't know which way to kick the ball when he had it on the goal line.
Far be it from me to defend him, but... He goes where he's told. He's not taking himself to these places. I just want to make that clear. Do you think he's not more comfortable?
Oh, I know.
Do you think he's just not more comfortable sitting in the back line, just sitting on Higgins and just making sure Higgins doesn't get a touch? Of course he is. But he's the coach is telling him where to be.
Oh, he's selfless by going up there.
Absolutely selfless. Not just up there, everywhere. Don't say that facetiously. He's absolutely selfless. He's foregoing his strengths and he's putting himself on the line for getting trolled by you people.
I do worry quite seriously if you bring Ridley in. Yeah, it's a tallish back line. I guess maybe Cox can move up the ground.
But they're a tall forward line. That's the thing. Rowan Marshall, Dixon, who's their other? There's another tall.
But Ridley is no slower than Lav.
Exactly.
So.
No, I agree. But I just I wonder whether, like, Kelly's a bit better below his feet. He's a bit more, like, he can play on a smaller guy, whereas, and a bit more flexible that way, whereas Laverde's...
Can lock down a little guy.
Yeah. So that's where I'd favour Kelly, all jokes aside.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go around and...
How about Dylan Shield for Durham? Is he still on the list?
He didn't even play...
Are we still paying him like 800k a year?
Yes, I think he's hurt his abs or something.
He had an abdominal strain and he missed VFL again.
Too many sit-ups.
I heard he got a bit of spray tan in his eye and couldn't see.
Oh, boy.
Abdominal strain, was it?
He had an abdominal strain last year in the warm-up of the VFL game. Didn't play that game. But Brad Scott did say it was minor, so it's a bit of a concern that he didn't play VFL again.
Stop flexing in front of the mirror.
I mean, if he looked like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Keep your point.
Well, yeah.
I avoid mirrors myself.
But... I'll be walking around with it off 24/7. You want to get a top on me?
All right, well, let's go around the grounds and work out who's going to win. Wintop 2000.
Computer. Port Adelaide. What are we? So Port Adelaide in Adelaide on Friday night. I don't think I've watched any of Port Adelaide. How are they tracking?
Why would you watch them?
Exactly. Have they been winning or what?
They've played 3-1-2, lost 1. So they're pretty much the same as us, just their percentage is a bit better.
You people.
Okay.
Architect, can you, like, work on his, like, his internet interface? Like, I know he's an AI and we don't want to release him onto the internet because, you know, all hell will break loose, but he's got to have some kind of idea of what's going on in the world.
Yes, but I can understand why he would never want to watch a Port Adelaide game, so it seems like good coding to me.
Okay.
All the processing is taken up by Essendon, so there's no outside interference here.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think we'll lose. Probably, I think we'll be competitive, maybe 12 points.
Oh, that'll be annoying because 12 points is a real tease. Christina. I know you love predicting.
I know I don't like predicting. I have no idea about Port Adelaide. Has anyone heard how Zerk is going?
Doing all right. Radigalia. He is a jerk, as Solution said. Radigalia is doing much better, but he's playing a role. He's playing on people his own size, so that's a win for him.
Oh, we need to do it. We need to do, like, maybe round five is a good point to, or round four, whatever it is, to do the Judas Award tally.
At this rate, I'm going to be the only one capable of doing it, because you people don't watch football, so.
I saw enough of Joe Danaher. My God, Brisbane, talk about how the mighty have fallen. I know they didn't win the flag, but Joe Danaher was rank. I turned it on. It was halfway, like 10 minutes of the second quarter or whatever it was. Within 10 seconds, I see Joe Danaher fly for a mark and throw himself forward for a free kick. It's like death taxes and Joe Danaher, you know.
Diving.
Exactly.
I'm assuming it was an uncontested mark as well.
Yeah, well, there was a guy who was slightly on his heel. Christina, did you predict? Come on.
We'll win by 3 points.
Oh, nail biter.
Fiona, what do you think?
I think we're going to win, and I'm going to say 14 points because we really, really owe them. The Dan Houston game is still tears my heart apart, and we have Ben McKay added to that team. So if Caldwell can have another game like that and Jake Stringer can continue his form, I reckon we can get them in the back line, in the forward line. And I think our mids are just tracking along beautifully at the moment. And I think even though they've got a really, really powerful midfield, I reckon we can get them on clearance because we're currently the number one in the AFL for centre clearances. So I think we can win with the Ben McKay factor.
So it might go from the October premiership to the clearance premiership.
Yeah.
Two flags in a row.
If we can just get those, the transitions.
Transitions, let's be honest.
Is it the transitions causing the fumbling or the fumbling causing the like, it's just that, like the stupid skill errors. It's just one is just... Yeah. Accentuating the other, and it creates carnage. So if they could just tidy up one of those things, I won't lose my mind so much, and that is a good thing.
So two for Essendon, one looks like I'm going to be the deciding vote. What do you think? Or maybe not.
Architect. No, you won't. You two are going last.
No, so yeah, I'm with the windsock on this one. I just think Port Adelaide will probably be a little bit too clean for us, and it probably goes against us. We need a messy game with how we're using the ball at the moment, uncleanly, with errors.
Maybe it'll be raining, though. What if it's raining? What if the forecast is rain? Would that change?
Let's hope for lightning, then. I think a wet weather game would probably actually favour us, yes, with just the basically rugby-style ball movement of kick it forward and then chase it down. But I think Port Adelaide will get us by 10 points.
Yeah, no rain predicted.
No, there's nothing.
Of course. And to be honest, they lost a close one against Melbourne a couple of nights ago up there, or Saturday night as well, I think. And they'll be reeling from that, so that's not good for us because they should have won that anyway.
Was their game as like physically taxing as our game looks like on our players?
That's another thing that is working against us. But go on, Solution, tip your loss.
All right, can we get a win?
A bullshit.
No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
I
honestly think I may change by Fiona's forecast later in the week, but I'm going for Essendon by 17. And I just get a feeling that, don't forget, we've got the top four mathematical equation that Jez has. He's taken all the equity out of his house and he's put a bet on that we're going to make top four. We win this with 3-1. Parrish will be better. Better for the run.
Yeah.
I reckon our midfield's on fire, as Fiona alluded to, with being the clearance premiership favourites. And if we could just get rid of some of the errors. But I reckon we'll like – Adelaide feels like it's got a bit more space.
Yeah, it does.
And I reckon guys like Nick Martin and these sorts of guys might relish that. And we're super efficient. Like, we've got class in the forward line with Stringer and Langford in particular. Draper can create a contest. And if Harry Jones can continue to play another game like that, I don't know. We're suddenly looking okay.
I feel like this is the kiss of death.
Yeah. Kiss of death.
We're definitely going to lose.
So we'll mount a better case, you two.
After that justification.
Mount a better case, you two negative nallies.
Reverse. We had. Sorry, but this is more about the solution and how we sell it. Yeah.
No, I'm super negative.
The last 20 years of Essendon is the case.
Yeah. Look, I don't disagree.
How many wines, be honest, how many red wines have you had?
Well,
you're on the cans as well.
Yeah, I did get up at very early in the morning to watch Arsenal.
Don't worry, come Fiona, in three days' time, on Thursday night, when we do Fiona's forecast, he'll be tipping a 40-point loss, so don't worry. Don't get too ahead of yourselves, architect. And
I reckon this team has a bit of heart. I think Sydney are far superior to Port in terms of notwithstanding what happened to them on Saturday. And there were times against Sydney where it was really good.
They're far superior.
Port Adelaide.
I reckon Sydney.
I thought we looked really good at times against Sydney, and it's only going to take a couple of tweaks.
We're just going to have to keep our cool, and even as supporters, like Willie Rioli, and he's the one who can like book Ridley out, concussed him off the ball. He was just doing dirty shit on Saturday night. Against Melbourne, he was doing some really awful shit, and I just know that he's probably gonna tear us a new one.
Okay, so who can we, what we put Hind on him, and the two of them can just fight it out.
So Redman can sacrifice himself for another week. He was
exactly
yeah.
Kelly could probably shut him down, and he's. Mm-hmm. He's a bull, so he could give back as much as Willie gives. But I just don't like some of his tactics, like off the ball to Todd Viney and shit like that on Saturday night. I really dislike it, and I'm scarred from the Ridley thing. So,
yeah.
But I genuinely, I don't know what potion solutions drinking, but I genuinely think Port are gettable. So we matched up. We did really well against them twice last year. So I'm going with that.
Yes, the kick on the siren. Oh my god! Don't remind me of that game.
And we're a better team than last year.
That's what I'm saying. We've added Ben McKay to that. It's the Ben McKay effect. So Dixon should really be. The other thing is Todd Marshall is in very good form too, so it's probably a good matchup for Cox though, because both quite athletic. So, but he's in good form, so he won't be able to sleep on him. But if we can corral Dixon and just keep his presence, you know,
yep, to a
minimal or halve it at least, because when he's not kicking goals, he's still got presence, and that's dangerous. So, and of course, you know, the obvious ones, Connor Rosie and what's the other one, Butler,
Butters.
Butters, yeah, they're going to obviously tear us up, but we'll do our own tearing up with Parrish and Zach. So much. It's quite even. I know. As Essendon supporters, we're the only ones who'll think it. Everyone will think we're crazy, but I reckon our midfield can take it up to their midfield. Everyone will think theirs is far superior than ours, but I reckon ours have probably got a bit more intent at the moment.
Mm.
Yep.
And Dersmer might have something to prove against his old club as well.
Yes.
Very good point. I think he's probably going to be a bit nervous. But we got to see the arrow, and he's so cute. Oh, my God. It was so cute. Poor Solution got a few slaps from me when that happened.
Like the finger. He even pulled, like, the finger back and did, like, a... Like, he's worked on this in the mirror. Like, he's got the action down pat, too.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's shit. I think he should get rid of the arrow, but...
No, you're wrong.
Hopefully we see it Friday night. All right, we're going to get out of here. Did anyone listen to the song of the week? Or did you let me down again?
Did you do one?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
What's wrong with you?
So I pressed play and I realised that you didn't do it to the song I suggested, and then I didn't listen to it.
I did listen, but you didn't use my lyric, so, you know.
Failed, so you need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't use your lyrics.
It's too somber. It's too somber. It needs to be a bit more fiery. That's my critique.
It's not somber. It's
it is.
Anyway, to listen.
You wait till he gets the ukulele out.
Maybe you got a good point. Don't make me threaten you. I'm not sure the name of the song, but it's to Cold Chisel's Choir Girl, and it's Sydney Cry. So it's a whack at Sydney. And
what song did I want you to do it to? What song did I want you to do it to, Solution?
What was the song again? I've got it in the pipeline. It's in the pipeline of work.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just needs to be, you know.
So you're going to be a Sydney album. They triggered you that much.
that's, yes. Very good point. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I hate them, man. I hate them. And I was so happy with
Just Richmond. Wait. Just wait until we play Collingwood and Carlton. It's going to exceed. It's going to supersede the feeling of hatred you feel right now.
I've never had a... Firstly, neither of those teams have I seen them whinge. I've never seen any team whinge like Sydney did through the game. And I can't recall a player being so disrespectful after a game. Even after a grand final when you've won the flag and it's all over and there's sort of no repercussions. I cannot remember a guy being as disrespectful as Papley towards his opponent.
But you know what? The only way you look at that, it's a compliment. It cannot be taken any more than a compliment. What, unless you are so rattled that you need to bring it up in three separate interviews, plus an on-field interview about how hard the other team is going, that's just a compliment as far as I'm concerned. Unless you're triggered, you don't go off on a rant like that. You're just triggered by someone harder at the ball. They're used to Essendon being soft, and here comes an Essendon who's not letting them have their way, and they're triggered.
And that was the theme of the song. The theme of the song was about Sydney are used to getting all their own way, and now they cry.
It's true.
So anyway, check it out, even if no one on this podcast did. So thanks to everyone that listened. Something About Cake. Check it out. Now's the time to get your bookings in. Is that right?
Is it?
Fiona, is it not? When's booking season? Or is this like the shit season when you're just like working?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've got about another month of this to go, and then I can take a breath or two.
Okay, well, now you start browsing, and anyway, get on and have a look. There's some tremendous stuff there. We'll do the forecast on Thursday or Friday, so check that out. Thanks to everyone that listened. Go Bombers. Fuck Sydney. Fuck Ross Lyon. And we'll see you all next week.
Go
Bombers. Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Whinging like a small child. All you do is cry, Papley. Whinging like a small child. All you do is cry, Sydney. So used to free kicks, so used to getting everything your own way, yet all game, all you do is cry, Sydney. Cost of living allowance, you get to pay your players more. Sydney Academy, young stars you get to hoard. 1 million fans you claim, but most of them never, ever, ever been to the ground. Yes, you're a fraud, yet all you do is cry, Sydney. Whinging like a small child, all you do is cry, Papley. Whinging like a small child, all you do is cry, Sydney.